You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here on a Wednesday, a very busy Wednesday, as we were talking about with the fellas before. We will hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, coming up around 3 o'clock. We'll also hear from C.J. Stroud, our guy Cecil Shorts III. Hopefully he's feeling better today. Hopefully he's in a better place today. With that offensive performance, particularly the fourth quarter. We'll talk to him coming up at the bottom of the 2 o'clock hour. And Brandon Scott was out at practice today. We'll hear from him. Texans report coming up in a bit. So that's a packed show today on a Wednesday. And Clint, by the way, here in just a bit, Clint told y'all about a lot of the real positive things he saw watching the film, but there was something that he has a little bit of concern. We'll get to that here in just a second, but first, Clint, we'll get the official injury report. I mean the Texans injury report is one thing, but the Ravens one is the one to watch, Clint. And they had a couple of defensive guys that missed the last game come back. Travis Jones, a defensive tackle, was back at practice, and then Pro Bowler and a guy who led their team in sacks last year, the veteran Kyle Van Noy, he returned with that hamstring, but eight did not practice. And there are some big names with this, Clint. Quarterback Lamar Jackson, who was announced yesterday from Wacker of the Baltimore Sun. Ryan Wacker, that Lamar is likely not to play. He did not practice. Fullback Pat Ricard, he has not played in the last several games. He didn't practice with the calf again. Ronnie Stanley with the ankle, he didn't practice. Roquan Smith, we've already found out, he is out, along with Marlon Humphrey. He didn't practice. And then their other two corners, Nate Wiggins and Awuzie, if you remember him, he was the one who used to get beat down when he was with the Cowboys a lot. He did not practice. So their top three corners did not practice. We already know Marlon Humphrey is out. We'll see what this means. We will keep an eye on that today. We will keep an eye on that tomorrow as well, Clint, and Friday. Maybe we'll get a little bit more understanding of guys that'll be in or out of this game. But that was what we saw today, Clint, from the Ravens when it comes to guys in or out of practice today, which is a large list with big names on it.
Well, thank you once again. The football gods are shining in Houston for dang sure with what's going on in Baltimore. And The Texans needed in a major way, man. 1-3, you got to climb out of a hole that you dug. One way is that you come up on the Tennessee Titans on your schedule and you get that win. Another one is some of the more difficult games, arguably the most difficult game on your schedule when the season started, was going to be Baltimore. Now you're looking at that and they're coming in injured on several fronts, and with a defense that even when they had their guys couldn't stop.
Yeah,
couldn't stop the offenses in that they've come up against so far. So this week against Baltimore, the Baltimore week looks a lot more promising than it once did for damn sure.
Yeah, so again, as soon as the official injury report comes out, we will definitely let you know that. But that's a lot of starters. That's a lot of high-priced guys that they have on, or at least as of now, off the practice squad, which is one to really, really watch there. Texans, they were out there as well. And once we get the official injury report with them, we will also let you know the latest of that. Derek Stingley did miss practice, but you should feel a little bit more comfortable about that just because he missed practice all week last week and still got in. Will Anderson, he did not practice on today's practice, so we'll see the latest on that. Jalen Reed and Danico Autry, who are eligible to come back, they did practice today. So pretty solid. We'll see what's going on with the Will Anderson situation. But that is the latest there when it comes to the Texans and the guys who were held out of practice today. All right, Clint, we've talked about, which was fair, I think, especially when you see the explosion from the offense in the fourth quarter. You win a game 26-0. And most of the film and most of the things we're going to talk about is a positive thing. But I know when you watch the tape, something really jumped out at you that may be a potential problem that we need to look at.
Yeah, I've got two things, and I think the first one is going to be the eye-opener, is Christian Kirk. Look, I think Christian Kirk was brought here to be a 1-2 punch, if you will, with Nico Collins to be a weapon on this offense. He was brought here to be a slot receiver, which I've outlined many a time, that how valuable that guy is in a sense of seeing the game through the quarterback lens and how valuable he would be in helping solve some of the protection problems that we saw in 2024 with the Houston Texans. And he comes in before the season starts. He's injured. He missed the first two games, because we've seen him two games now, right? And now that we've seen him for two games, Ron, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not impressed with what I've seen. I thought he would be a bigger part of this offense. Two, I don't see the twitch explosion, combination there that we expected to see. You know, we heard comments, and hell, I believed it. We heard comments, and the film would tell you that it's true, is that in the past he's been able to strike defenses from the slot position deep, and he's not just a slot receiver, possession receiver. This is a guy that's dynamic and brings a real weapon to the offense. I mean, I remember vividly watching this film yesterday morning, Ron, and I'm sitting there watching it, and you know, he catches a ball over the middle at one point and kind of turns it up. And I'm waiting for some kind of burst. I'm waiting for some kind of speed. I'm waiting for some kind of, like, cut back against the grain, try to shake the defender a little bit. And, I mean, there's a half-hearted kind of shake and a step out of bounds with no change of speed, with no burst, with no nothing. I'm going to tell you, it was real Robert Woods-esque. No disrespect to Robert Woods, but it was not what I expected. It wasn't the effort. It wasn't the explosion. It wasn't the twitch that I just expect to see damn near every time Christian Kirk touches the ball. So I don't know if I'm just expecting too much, or if the injuries and maybe Father Time a little bit has... Or
hopefully, maybe he's still a little ginger on the hamstring.
Maybe the hamstring's still a little ginger. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but just looking at it, it was one of those like, man, that's your second... That's second in command in terms of weapons for this quarterback beyond Nico Collins.
So for
that's
you,
not going to get it.
So for you, it's not a deal of like, hey, Nick and CJ got to get him involved. You're looking at it from the standpoint of like, this is a player who's just not playing to the level you thought he would play.
Well, I think two things can be true. I do think that CJ and Nick Cayley and company have to get him more involved. I mean, it's the guy that you brought in to be the second weapon. You got to at least give it a shot. You got to at least get him involved. But there's, to me, the concern is does he have enough juice to be a two? I mean, what I've seen so far in game time, in game film, I'm looking at this and going, hey, they're going to have to make a move for a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
really pushed or put Noel in there or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real gamble for a team that expects to win 10, win a division, and go beyond the second round of the playoff. That's a real gamble. And I'm not saying that Noel can't do some of these things. And even with Noel and with Higgins, you know, there's still a lack of proven, I can take the top off a defense or I can create separation. And if Christian Kirk is going to be a shell of himself, if Christian Kirk is going to be gingerly moving around the field and doesn't have the ability to make guys miss and doesn't have the ability to, like, if Christian Kirk is not the guy that you hand a speed sweep to and he can't get around the end, if Christian Kirk is not a guy that out of the slot can do like we saw Higgins do last week, where if he gets pressed, shake him and get over the top and create separate, if he can't do those things, then Christian Kirk is a role player. Right?
I expected
a Christian Kirk that was explosive. I expected a big play Christian Kirk. I expected a guy that in critical moments you go, hey, let Christian Kirk get this punt return. And I'm telling you, what I watched on that film is you may have hit the nail on the head. It's a guy that may be walking around ginger right now with that sore hamstring, but that can't be your second best weapon.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a volume guy. I thought he would be a guy that would get, you know, 7 to 9 targets a game because he
just right there.
Quick right there. And maybe that comes. But right now, they need him to be, like, honestly, especially the way he's paid, he should be a bigger weapon than Woody Marks. And that's not anywhere close to that. Right now, he looks like an Applebee's receiver.
Applebee's, what is that?
2 for 20. I like that, but yeah.
Man. You know, Applebee's, they got that promotion rolling there and get that 2 for 20. That's He looked like he's.
That was good.
Found a whole rat in my Cobb salad.
It looks like he's
a whole rat in your Cobb salad.
Get that pasta. What, they got a pasta with that 2 for 20? Get him some chips and salsa for free, I believe, comes with that. Yeah, that's what he looks like. And everything at Applebee's, baby. 2 for 20. What'd he get last game? I bet it was close to it. I bet his numbers are close to that Applebee's deal.
If it is 2 for 20 on the dot, you're lying. You saw it.
I hadn't seen it. I bet it was. I mean, I think he caught more than 2 balls. So I don't know if it's exactly that, but yeah, he's in that range. 2 for 20, man. And we've seen players like that, right? The Texans have had had Applebee's players. We've watched them. I thought I thought Xavier Hutchinson was a 2 for 20 guy.
You were damn close. But it's an even better deal if you were at Applebee's. 3 for 20 last week for Christian Kirk.
There you go. It's a special.
3 for 20. Add a side.
I'm telling you, them first 2 weeks, he had to be he had to be close.
Hump day special, baby. 3 for 20.
he's Applebee's, baby.
I'm just telling you, as I'm watching that's the big negative. When I'm watching, I'm thinking because I think the one. You know, as we talk a lot about the Texans game versus the Titans, I think the one difference is going to be, like, I don't know that other teams aren't going to have the ability to drop down coverage on Dalton Schultz and make it more difficult to get those easy layups. I don't know that they're not going to be able to drop coverage down on Xavier Hutchinson, who can't create separation, and make those couple of catches more difficult. And even Christian. So I'm sitting there going, how do you, beyond Nico Collins, how do you find some space, and how do you find these easy completions versus a better defense? And I'm thinking immediately Christian Kirk. Well, then I watch him and I'm like, man, I don't know. I just don't know.
He's got to be a bigger impact.
He's got to be a bigger impact, but hell. I don't care if it's one catch. I got to turn the film on and go, boy, he's hard to catch. Boy, he's hard to touch. Boy, he's hard.
And we've seen it. We've seen it prior
in Texas,
to this.
Yeah, in a Jacksonville uniform.
And a Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, we've seen that. We ain't not in a Texans uniform. I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I walked away from it thinking, ooh, that could be a problem. And number two, real quick. I patted the O-line on the back yesterday.
Oh, damn.
And I meant every bit of it. I meant every bit of it. And this is more of a Cole Popovich issue and a D'Amico Ryans issue.
No,
not
Cole.
And a Nick Caserio and Nick Cayley issue.
Not Moses.
I mean, here's the deal, man. I've seen enough of blocking my guy for about a second or something and then turning around and watching. I've had enough of guys blocking their guy and turning around and seeing the running back fixing to run up their back end so they high knee it up out of there, out of the way, so they don't get rolled up on. I just I don't. I mean, one way this team can get significantly better is if D'Amico Ryans goes out there today and says, "I'm going to have a late whistle on every single team play that we have, and if anybody stops and looks behind them to see if the running back's going to run up their tail, or stops and look behind them because they think the running back's gone the other direction, or the running back's maybe already passed on a screen, then your ass is running laps."
You make it seem like it's an epidemic.
It's bad. It is bad. Now, the O-line was significantly better. They were really good. But this has been something that goes on every – it was just down the list of my problems with the offensive line. Like, let's get movement on the double team, and then I'll worry about guys looking back later. I mean, it is unbelievable, Ron, how many guys block – Woody Marks runs by him, or the D line runs by him, and it's a screen. Well, they just stop. They just stop and look at it. That's when you bury their ass. I mean, there would be nothing more embarrassing to me than if it's a screen, or if you're blocking on the backside, or even front side, and a running back runs by you, and you didn't bury your guy. Instead, you let up, and now the defense is damn sure going to chase, and the running back stops his feet, and your guy makes a tackle. And there is a ton. I mean, a ton. O-line, tight ends, wide receivers, anybody that's in a blocking capacity. It is amazing how much. I got a hold of my guy. Let me look behind me and see if somebody fixing to run up my back. Let me look behind me and see if, Woody's done broke the line of scrimmage. Oh, cool, I'm good. It's embarrassing. It's got to be fixed. You will be a much better run blocking unit, screen team, pass blocking unit if you do those things. That's my one thing this week that I'm – D'Amico, Nick Cayley, I'm giving away free advice.
Free.
Cole Popovich, I'm giving away free advice.
Not it's even a two for 20.
It's a shame I got to tell you. But I don't care what era of football we're playing in. I don't care of what level of physicality you want your guys to bring game in, game out. I don't care what the game plan is. I don't care who the opponent is. Mm. If you block a guy – you block his ass through the whistle.
Through it.
It's that simple. If you're blocking him back towards the behind the play, then keep block, run his ass all the way back in the end zone behind you instead of just quitting. Post. You quit, he chases the play. What part of that makes sense? Finish through the whistle. If you don't finish through the whistle, we're going to run laps. Right. Just like everybody except for Laramie did last year.
Free advice.
Free right advice. There it's it a is. Shame that I got to give it to you. But I am a more detail-oriented fella than most. I'm just telling you that is.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, if you can at least notice it, watch the film and go, that has to be fixed. It's got to be.
713-572-4610. Do you have any other former or current Houston Texan 2-for-20 guys? Any other current ones? I'm seeing people have fun text that in. Talking about Robert Woods, 2-for-20 guy. Anybody else? Any other former or current Houston Texan 2-for-20 guys? I want to stick to that offensive line because Nick Caserio had something to say about that offensive line on the coaches – or not the coaches show, but in his conversation with the guys on Texans All Access. And I think we need to get them to make a decision on something. We'll do that coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Cecil Shorts coming up here at the bottom of the hour, and the head coach, D'Amico Ryan's coming up at 3 o'clock. Remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking it off with the juicy Week 5 matchup between the Houston Texans and Baltimore Ravens. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Nick Kasarian, the general manager, was speaking with Texans All Access and giving his thoughts on the offensive line, in particular their performance against the Titans.
I mean, there's always a lot of moving parts, but I think that group, you know, looks like probably the five that we'll go with, but things can change at any point. But overall, they played fairly well. I mean, for the most part, we talked before the game about, you know, we weren't going to eliminate Simmons. We're trying to neutralize him, and he made a negative play there. Honestly, that play was more our fault than anybody else's. But, I mean, overall, I mean, they played well. They played physical. We used some jumbo. You know, we put Fisher in the game, so that was kind of a different look for us there. But group works hard. It's got a good attitude. You know, we're able to make some plays, and anytime you have success offensively, it starts, you know, with the offensive line.
All right, there was Nick Kasarian had a few things to say. I know for you, as we've reached Wednesday, I know in that last segment you had some things that you wanted to see them improve, but ultimately this was their best performance as an offensive line of the four games of the season. I believe that's where you have been, and I agree with you. Now, you obviously will have better experience about this than I do, but with everything that I have been taught from Pee Wee to middle school to high school football, covering college and the NFL and high school for over a decade,
national champion high school football player. Don't sell yourself short, bro.
Yeah, state. They didn't give us the national.
Did I say national? Damn, I really was giving it
to you.
That
was modern day, yeah. We're state champs. But
hey, still.
But hell, I'll go with the national champs over there at Blue Springs High School. But I just, they need to make a decision to me on this left guard situation. I think it's really strange and unusual that I don't know if I believed them fully against Jacksonville, but I think I do now that they're coming in with the game plan of, hey, man, we got like a little rotation here, man. You get a couple of series here. Everything that I've been taught, Clint, is, hey, man, if one group needs continuity, it's that group, right? They get better when you play more together. We've seen even more, I think, now than when you played. Now, I may be wrong on that, but even more when you played, the games and stunts that are played by defensive linemen. Yep. And that was the biggest problem on the team last year was that those guys didn't know how to handle that or communicate that. We've still heard them talk about communication issues. It feels like they need to pick Juice Scruggs or Lakin Tomlinson and roll with it. I think it's strange and weird that they keep just flip-flopping here and you get a series here. And I don't know. It feels like, is that helpful to your rookie left tackle who's got a lot on his plate to have to communicate differently with different guys? It just feels like to me right there, like, all right, man, you've been doing this for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Can we make a decision? He said that we'll probably go with that five. What five? Which five?
Yeah, which five is
it? You got five and a push.
You got six of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think Ron, that's why like, I can't believe coming from a group that is so vocal about best five, no matter what, we're going to rotate, we're going to cross train, we're going to go to battle with our best five, to then flip the script and play six. is an odd approach to me. And I'll be honest with you.
This is the game plan, right? It seems D'Amico
said it was the game plan. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we saw it happen against Jacksonville and that was the game plan, then we see it happen against the Titans, I got to believe that it's still the game plan. And I'll be honest with you, Ron, to me, it reeks of we're one of those smartest guy in the room deals. It reeks of we're going to play a fourth interior offensive lineman that can play either guard or center. And if it comes down to it and somebody gets hurt, we're going to have a guy that's ready. We're going to have a guy that's got reps in this offense. We're going to have a guy that has played reps, a lot of reps this season. It reeks of that. I think they do some things outside the box. I don't believe that D'Amico Ryans or Nick Caserio are saying, hey, we're going to go in and let a competition roll into game day. I don't think that's
– No.
It's got to be the let's get one step ahead and get a guy some run more than it is, boy, Lakin sucks. Let's get juice in there.
Because I'll be honest, Clint, in the first game, I thought they were trying to – because I do think they protect players, a lot of players on this team except Joe Mixon. I think they protect a lot of players – with the things that they say. So I kind of thought they were protecting Lakin, and it was a deal in that Jags game where, hey, maybe it was just a coincidence that Lakin had just got his ass kicked, and they got him out after the first few possessions, and then Scruggs stayed in the rest of the way. I thought that's just what it was, and we see Juice moving forward. But no, they did the same thing.
How about this?
And they doubled down on it. He said it, and he did it. So, I mean, clearly it is a game plan. I mean, I'm glad they're not saying, here, let's work in Blake Fisher a little bit over there at that left tackle spot or right.
I read something this morning, Ron, where the run that Lakin Tomlinson is on of starts is crazy. He hadn't missed a start.
He got benched last year. Go ahead.
No, I'm pretty sure he is not. I'm pretty sure he has not missed a start since. I mean, it's hundreds of games. It's over 100 games. And
100 straight he started, huh?
No, it's more than that. I want to say it was 140 something, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's a lot. There's some kind of streak there, and I think it's a start streak. And I wonder, I hate to say it, but as I'm reading that article, I'm like, is this playing a role into why Juice Scruggs isn't starting? Are we starting a guy to keep his consecutive start streak alive here?
Yeah, he started every game since 2018.
I think he started every game that he's been in the league except for the very first one, Ron. I think he was sick. I think it was because he was sick that day or something and couldn't start.
Yeah, I got it here. He started 15 games in 2017, which I would assume he missed one. When they moved to the 17 game schedule, he has started every single game since 2018.
That's a 7-7 game.
Nope.
I mean, seven
nah,
season.
That ain't it.
You don't
that's,
think it has anything to do with it?
Nope. Can't be.
But you're having to talk yourself out of it. I can tell by the look on your face.
No, that's not what they're doing. Nope.
Lakin's gonna start every game this year, and Juice is gonna finish it.
What is it? Didn't Arkansas do this back in the day? They had a guy when they won the national championship in basketball. And he started every one of the games. They said he was a good luck charm, but he came out in the first 3 minutes. I cannot the year they won it all when they beat Duke. I cannot remember his dark skinned big guy, but they were really bringing in Dwight.
Right.
But he started every game because it was a good luck charm.
I can't remember who that would be.
I had to look him up.
Dwight was right before me at the Hall of Honor this weekend. He looked over at me in that chair. We were waiting to go. He said, hey, I hear you're kind of long-winded. I said, no, Big D, I got you, bro. I got you. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of long-winded, Cecil Shorts III, he'll join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw Sunday. A guy that plays the position he played. We'll get his thoughts on what he is seeing from Christian Kirk. All of that coming up next with Cecil Shorts III.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it's Wednesday, bottom of the 2 o'clock hour. We're joined by Cecil Shorts III. Remember, coming up, Next segment, we hope to hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, as he meets with the media ahead of this big game against Baltimore that feels a lot different. Cecil, appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll get to Baltimore in a bit, but I kind of want to start this off the way I did yesterday on the show with Clint, Tyler, and the people, and that is in the fourth quarter on Sunday, where they exploded and they shut out Tennessee for the game, but they won that quarter 20-0. We saw multiple explosive plays, two touchdown passes from CJ, and then maybe a star is born with Woody Marks. Did you see enough and feel like they found something enough to make you feel different about this team and make you think that this is a team that may be able to make a run for a playoff spot?
That's tough. I'm going to say no. I think I saw what I wanted to see, like the touchdown of Jaden Higgins. CJ talked about it in an interview. He saw the coverage kind of shift over to Nico, and he gave a concept that he thought would be great for Jaden Higgins or whoever else on the right side, and it worked. I love seeing that. I love seeing them use Woody Marks in different ways. Him having over 120 all-purpose yards is great to see. That's two rookies getting involved, but even Jaden only had one catch, one target, right? So I saw some good things. You know, I think he got the ball out quicker. I think he was taking what they were giving him. I think he made sound decisions. I love what they did on – well, I shouldn't say love. I liked that they were able to convert on fourth down three different times, but they got in third and really short, right, or fourth and really short. They were able to convert that. Want them to be on schedule a little bit more, so it's third and short. They can convert to fourth, right? So I like different things I saw throughout the time, taking a shot down the field, kind of opened things up, I thought, for the offense, going to Nico for that, whatever it was, second and 30 yard play. They caught the deep ball on the left sideline on Tennessee's sideline. So I saw some good things here and there. I'm just not sold they can do what you said, Ron, and make a playoff run yet with how the offense is looking as a whole, because we still have three games and three quarters of a game that they did not look that well. So they got to do it again. And then that's the thing about the NFL. You can't just do it once. You got to do it again and again and again, and that's what good teams do.
I just want to specify, I said a run to the playoffs, not a playoff run. A run to nine to ten games. not a playoff run, and then get themselves back into the playoff pitch. All right.
Cecil, I want to be fair and thorough on this. I had watching the film, obviously, is totally different than being on the field and watching it live the way you are. We're up in the press box. So there's an all 22 approach kind of aspect to what we do on game day as well. You're on the field. I made the comment a little earlier. One thing that kind of stood out to me that I'm a tad bit concerned about is it doesn't seem like Christian Kirk is the Christian Kirk that we watched at A&M or that we watched in Arizona or that we watched in Jacksonville, like the explosion and the twitch. And when I'm watching film, there's a lack of all of that in his game right now. Now, I don't know if that's the hamstring still aching him a little bit and he's kind of gingerly walking around and he's doing us all a favor by playing, or if it's father time. But am I crazy to think that our number two target is a guy that, one, they got to get involved, and two, has got to have some explosive ability to make plays?
No, I totally agree with you. I think last week he had three catches, 20 yards, four total targets, right? But the week before that, his first game back against his old team in Jacksonville, eight targets, only three catches, still in that 20-ish yards range. He has to find ways to be able to create separation. And I think right now, I do think the hamstring has something to do with it, because I think in training camp, I think he looked better than what we see now. But what he's putting on film the last 2 weeks, he doesn't look that explosive, doesn't look that fast. I don't know if he can fully trust himself again. A hamstring is a tricky thing, right? Because you, especially at a receiver position where you're running all the time, you got to build that trust back up in your body. So him only being back 2 weeks, I'm trying to give him a little grace period, but you got to find ways to really see if he can get open. Like, you're only targeting him four times last week. And to be honest, all year long, the four games you played, no receiver outside Nico Collins has gotten over 50 yards. So you have to really develop either the young guys to get more playing time and get more yards, or then you need to start feeding Christian Kirk, who came back 2 weeks ago. But you have to be able to see what he can do And I do think he's battling with that hamstring still. But at the same time, I do think it's a little bit of father time catching up to him. This playing over the time, you know how it is. You get older, you play a little bit. But regardless, you have to really see what he can do. And he has to either step up and get fully healthy and be able to play, or maybe they need to scheme up something a little more so he can be able to use his speed and agility to be able to get open.
Well, that brings me to the, and I know we're obviously speculating here, but let's say that Christian Kirk is banged up a little bit and he leaves, let's just say he leaves a lot to be desired as a number two weapon on this team beyond Nico Collins. You mentioned the rookies, and I like Higgins, and I like Noel, and I like Xavier Hutchinson. I like what those guys bring to the table. But if this offense is going to have a real shot, right, in a sense of being the reason you win games and being, you know, explosive at times and making a run to the playoffs, I mean, you're going to have more weapons than that, right? Do you think that these youngsters are good enough and far enough, experienced enough right now to where, hey, if Kirk doesn't work out, you just kind of lean on the rookies? Or do you say, hey, this might be something that you got to entertain from a trade perspective in a couple of weeks?
I truly believe, well, first of all, the rookies aren't playing that much. Besides Woody Marks, the other receivers aren't playing that much. They aren't getting the snap counts that you would need to even create experience to be able to trust them in game situations, right? So I can't even say, hey, yeah, if Kirk can go, you got Noel and Higgins. So they aren't playing as much as you would like them to. For whatever the reason, that's their decision. I'm not there at practice every day. So I would say they would have to go out and try to trade, find a trade partner, and bring somebody in, because the veteran experience is just not there. The playmaking ability is just not there, being honest, outside of Nico Collins. The great thing I saw last week is, guess what? Another playmaker came in the fold with Woody Marks. I can't say that in the receiver room. I still don't know who can really make plays in the NFL level consistently in the receiver room, because, again, I don't know if there's been another receiver besides Nico that's gone over 50 yards in a game yet. We saw splashes here and there, right? Higgins touchdown last week, about 25, 24 yards. We saw splashes here and there. Noel only gets a screen or a shallow route, something quick, right? So we haven't seen him run routes down the field. So you would have to go out and bring somebody experienced if you're trying to make a true playoff run. Now, if you're trying to develop and just get guys going and get them, these young guys going, then, you know, I'm not sure they're good enough, just being honest, right now, to be able to push that playoffs.
Well, Cecil Shorts III, former Texan and NFL wide receiver, joins us. And Cecil, maybe your next best bet to get 50 yards behind Nico is Woody Marks. He may be the next best bet on this team in the passing game. And listen, I can hear it in your voice, and I think it's fair. I think a lot of fans are this way. I think Clint maybe is this way. You're trying to, hey, let's not get too crazy. Let me pump the brakes. Let me get this performance to get me excited. But I don't think you need to do that with Woody Marks. Woody Marks looks real. That looks, I'm not saying he's about to be, you know, an all-pro like they had last year in Joe Mixon, but it looks real to me that he could be a real factor and he should be somebody that gets more play.
Man, he is somebody that week in and week out throughout the year, he's made some type of play each game. Even if it's a small 6-yard run, like, okay, that's a solid run right there. Oh, okay, that's a solid block right there. Oh, okay, great catch and 30-yard run out the backfield. And then you don't see it again. So, like, it's times where he's shown in each game, like, okay, I can play. And then last week was the explosion of him, right? They kind of let him loose. 17 rushes and then 4 or 5 catches. Like, that's what you want to see in a possible lead back, right? And again, I don't know if he'll be an all-pro. I don't know that. But he's good enough to make plays in the NFL. Like, if you're good enough to get all 120-plus yards, 2 total touchdowns, he is a certified playmaker. And he'll continue to get comfortable, get better. I love what I'm seeing from his blocking. That's improved a lot. He's a stout dude. He's like, he can take punishment and give punishment. He is a true playmaker that's only going to get better as time goes.
See, so another thing I saw on film, today was my negative day, by the way. Yesterday was my positive day from the film. Today was my negative day. All right. The second part, negative part of it was, you can help me with this, because I've not, the extent of my blocking downfield as a receiver was my junior year in high school, and I was pretty damn good at it, but I didn't have Nick Chubb running up my tail end either. I'm going to tell you, man, whether it's the O-line, the tight end, the wide receivers, any of them, I've never seen a group of guys look over their shoulder and make sure that the running back, either the play's over and I can quit now, or making sure nobody's running up their back end. What happened to blocking through the damn whistle?
I'll be honest with you. It's a choice. It's a choice. Hey. Like, that's just what it is. Like, blocking as a receiver, blocking as a tight end. I can't speak for offensive linemen because that's a different animal down there, a different beast. But for a receiver and a skill guy, it's a choice. Either you want to or you're not. Either you give the effort or you don't. You either sacrifice for your team or you don't. That's just what it is. So them looking back, yeah, I get it. You don't get run up on, but how about you run your feet and move the guy out the way? Then you won't get ran up on. Or he can cut off of you. You know what I mean? So if you run your feet and stop doing the lazy block type of stuff, you ain't got to worry about that type of stuff most of the time. So for me, it's just an effort thing. And that's just what it is. Either you want to block, either you want to sacrifice for your team, or you don't. That's just the truth.
Cecil, I gave that little nugget to Nick Cayley, D'Amico Rhines, Nick Caserio, even Cole Popovich. I said, look, you know, here's what we're going to do today at practice, boys. We're going to go, I'm going to have a late whistle. I'm going to have a slow whistle on everything. And if your ass don't block through the whistle, look, I'm not asking you to put somebody in the stands. I'm not asking you to be doing anything stupid and put anybody in harm's way. But if you don't block, if you don't drive your feet, if you don't push through the whistle, your ass is running laps.
Facts.
What do you think? You think there's a chance D'Amico's listening?
No way. I think.
I don't know. Let me say this real quick.
I gotta give. I know it's your negative day, but I'm gonna give you a positive, Clint. You are inducted into the Arkansas Razorbacks Hall of Fame and then the State of Arkansas Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
Congratulations to you.
Big dog.
Yeah, come on, man. I appreciate that, man. I'm not a
– No, that's a real big deal. I don't want to overlook that. I saw that on Instagram or Twitter or something. I'm like, dude, he killing it this year. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, man. It's been a good year for your boy, man. And as a station, we're up for Marconi, which I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah, man, it's I tell you, I'm not cut from no Hall of Fame cloth, man. So when it happens and it comes about, man, it's extra special. So I appreciate you. That's right, Mom. I appreciate it. Not this weekend though, boy. There was a wet blanket on my damn ceremony. That was for sure. But I appreciate you bringing that up, Cecil.
Cecil, I feel like he's primed to have another child this week. Ooh. I mean, this year. What a year!
Hey, it ain't from a lack of effort, dog.
Hey,
I'm doing my part, y'all.
Hey, just to let you know, your Guardians just took the lead in the eighth inning, Cecil. So
let's go.
There you go.
I heard Tyler play that Fat Owl, that Cleveland music coming on. Shout out to Tyler.
There you go.
Like, okay, playing that Cleveland music. Yeah.
All right, Cecil. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully they get another dub.
Yes, sir. Talk to y'all soon.
All right, that's Cecil Shorts the Third coming up. The head coach D'Amico Rhines as he speaks to the media head. Of a huge game this weekend in Baltimore. Let's hear from D'Amico coming up next.